Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Come on. The strong, the powerful Paul Zach has returned to Lifeblood. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you so much, George. Great to be back.
Excited to have you back on. Paul is a professor. He is a speaker and entrepreneur. He's the founder and chief immersion officer at Immersion Neuroscience. Again, excited to have you back on, Paul. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I'm a professional nerd and kind of a tool guy. So I have spent my professional career creating tools to help people curate their lives for greater happiness.
Nice.
And I do that by running neuroscience experiments, and then from those experiments, generally creating some piece of software.
I like it. And a little bit about the personal life.
Oh, I have no personal life. I just work all the time.
None.
So I've been a professor at Claremont Graduate University for 25 years. They've been great to me, giving me a lot of freedom to explore all kinds of weird areas and try to understand why people do what they do. Married two kids, going off to college, the younger one. So in 2 months, I'll be very, very sad and lonely.
Got it. Well, different seasons of life, right?
Actually, very exciting. I tell my kids, like I tell my graduate students, because I love you, I want you to have you get the hell out of my house or lab and start your life, right? My job is to set you up and then kick you out. And so I had a wonderful group. I think I've had 80 PhD students do their PhDs with me in the last 25 years. So I have a second family out there, most of them doing pretty cool stuff in the world. And the nice thing is if you get to collaborate with them or keep working with them over time, it's a real pleasure.
Yeah, that must be a really amazing, very unique network that you've sort of set off into the world to do their thing, and then opportunities hopefully will come up. So very cool. So what is top of mind for you right now, Paul?
It's really service. I think, you know, as I kind of move from putting all my time into doing basic research and into creating software companies, the point of a company is to create tools and make them available to as many people as possible. But to do that, you have to understand who would pay for that. Why are they valuable? What service are they generating for the people who use the software? And so I spent a lot of time thinking about service. How can we serve people better and create better tools, better features, improve the software? And so I think that's a great mindset. I think Jack Welch, towards the end of his life, you know, talked about the stupidity of looking at things like stock price or even profits as the metric of success, and really thought, you know, service value, creating value for individuals, is the fundamental basis for success. And that's probably true in business and in life, right? If I'm of service to other people, then I'm probably a good human being as well.
Yeah. I'm fond of saying I'd rather be useful than brilliant. And so that could just be because I'm not brilliant, Paul. And
how about both? You can be both, George.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. It doesn't need to be a binary thing, right? It is possible that for two things to be true at the same time. All right. So you are working to create better tools, helping people to become successful in whatever they're doing and creating things that people are actually going to pay for. Are there new tools that you've been working on that you're ready to deploy, or some new tools that you're finalizing, finishing?
Yeah, so it's been a great ride. So we just launched version 3 of the Immersion Neuroscience platform, and importantly, transitioned from enterprise software to individual use software. So to allow more people to measure what the brain loves in real time, any place people are doing cool things. And so being able to have a self-service, lower cost model has been really exciting and hard. It's really hard to make that so easy and clear that without any training, without it talking to any humans, you can download an app and measure things. So I think, you know, none of us wants to go to a bad movie or go on a bad date or, you know, go to a terrible class. And so how do we know good from bad? We've really got to measure brain activity. Our brains are not designed to clearly articulate our unconscious emotional responses to an experience or content. And so that's what we've been working on for, you know, most of the last 20 years.
Roughly speaking, give or take. Yeah. So walk me through, maybe you used, you know, go to a crappy movie, go on a bad date. How does it actually work? What does it do?
Yeah, so we basically pulled data from a smartwatch, like a Apple Watch or a Fitbit, and apply algorithms that allow us to infer what the brain's doing from the cranial nerves. So big surprise to listeners, the brain is actually connected to the heart and vice versa. And so I can feed in heart rate and through, you know, 20 years of research, have mapped out the relationship between heart and brain. And so I can get a very clear picture of what the brain is doing second by second. And then we've created a easy to understand platform in which data run from 0 to 100, higher is better. And people can see second by second how much their brain, other people's brains, value advertisement, movie trailer, training. Some of our biggest clients are in corporate training space. So, you know, training's hard. I mean, learning is hard. You know, how do we actually get better at this? I think we've got to measure. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing. And so immersion, this neurologic state, has two components. One is you've got to pay attention. That's driven by the brain's production of dopamine. But the second is you actually have to care about the experience you're having. You have to be emotionally resonant with it. And that's driven by the brain's production of oxytocin. So this immersion state that we discovered through basic research strongly predicts recall of information, taking actions after an experience like buying a product or posting to social media or emailing your congressperson. And so essentially immersion tells us that the brain is sufficiently shaken up that you're motivated to do something. And thus we're very accurate at predicting market outcomes by measuring the brains in as few as 35 people.
Nice. So there's a lot of, it's fascinating. Why would I as an individual want to know that, need to know that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many applications here. One is if you have kids in school, like I'd like to know before you take a test in 3 weeks if you understood the information. There's a strong correlation between information recall weeks later and immersion. So for a client like who's been very public about using our technology, Accenture, they create $1 billion of training for their employees every year. So they have a very astute a set of learning architects, and they're constantly tweaking this training to make it better, instituting new training. But what's the metric before they started using our technology? It was that ex post survey. Hey, George, how'd you like the keynote speaker? Was the lunch good? Yeah. Don't give a crap about that. I want to know, did that information get in your head and shake up your brain so that you can use it and create value for Accenture? So another application is a lot of clients in the entertainment space. Consistently, in the last 30 years, 80% of movies lose money. How is that possible?
Wow.
I'm a cheap guy. I just hate to see wasted resources. So, you know, because immersion is subscription software, clients use this throughout the content creation process. So from table reads to script evaluations to choosing talent to choosing music, all those can be assessed very rapidly by sending a piece of content out to your friends or colleagues or a panel of people who have our software and on their smartphones and watches and just saying, hey, I want to see how your brain responds to this. Okay, awesome. That worked. And then this section didn't work very well either. Okay, let's edit that, make it better. So I'm into kind of making cool stuff, right? We all want to have this really cool, you know, we're all creators now, I think, and we're all makers. But how do I know what I'm making is valuable? I can put it out in the world and see if it sinks or swims, or in the process of creation, I can get beyond my own perhaps biased intuition on what's going to be successful and move that into really getting essentially a market test, but that's a brain test on, is this content really exciting for people's brains? If it is, awesome. It's going to get shared. It's going to get remembered. It's going to get acted on. If it's not, then I'll just do a little more work, right? Crank it up a little bit.
It strikes me that it's like an ultimate lie detector test.
Yeah, it's certainly not brainwashing, right? We're measuring people's brains, but I don't want to use a bad word, but one of our clients called this the give a S measure, right? So I've got to get people to care about whatever I'm creating or delivering. And caring in the brain is metabolically costly. Your brain just wants to kind of cruise and just idle whenever possible. But if I can somehow deliver this information in a way that's so exciting that you've just got to get into it, then I've actually made an impact on people. So I'll give you a quick example. So some years ago, just for fun, as you know, I've given a couple of TED Talks, we had people, we had them wear smartwatches, and we had them watch a bunch of, by some online, list, the worst and best TED Talks. Not mine, because I really didn't. I was too afraid.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So we had people watch good and bad TED Talks, and in fact, the TED Talks with better means basically more online views, much more immersive. Their structure was actually different. So because we have second-by-second data, we can break down how you structure a TED Talk. And we found that a 10% increase in immersion would result in 176,000 more online views. So the impact is powerful. If you can grab the brain and say, hey, this is so valuable to you, this is so important, that you really got to put energy into absorbing it.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. I can think of so many different use cases. Delivering a great TED Talk, creating great training that's going to actually take and be used and be effective, proving my concept before I launch it. There's probably... talk about 80% of business or movies that don't make money. I'm sure that there's a ton of entrepreneurs out there that launch and then they find out that just the appetite for whatever they made isn't there. Is that how you're seeing this at a smaller scale for people that kind of fit into that camp?
Yeah, exactly right. So as we kind of transition into the experience economy, where we value not just the commodity we're getting, we're valuing the experience of consuming that, then we've really got to create great experiences for people. So you get a quick example. We had a client who we lost because of COVID, but we had a client in the luxury retail space. And so it's interesting, George, you know my work pretty well. You know, immersion is this social interaction between people. So it's contagious. If I'm having a great time, you're generally having a great time too. So there's a strong correlation between my immersive state and yours. And so this client gave wearables to their salespeople, and this is luxury retail, and they're able to predict with, I think, 84% accuracy what customers would buy based on the immersion of the salespeople. And then they went back, and because all retail stores have video cameras, and they started looking at those videotapes. What are those high sales salespeople doing, right? Are they, I don't have this data, but, you know, are they touching them on the shoulder? Are they showing the clothing in a different way? Are they smiling more? Right. All this means we can create better experiences that customers want. They really want to have a great experience. I don't want to walk into any store, Walmart for that matter. I don't want to have a bad experience at Walmart. I want to have that nice greeter smile at me, help me find the aisle that I need to find, right? All those great experiences. And so we can help people get better. Just give them objective feedback. Like, hey, this is really working. Not just on self-report, Because people lie. I mean, people don't lie because they're malicious generally, but because if you ask me, you know, how much am I enjoying, you know, being on the show here with you? I don't know. Compared to what? Compared to my kids? Compared to my dog? My dog's perfect. My dog's never talked back to me, right? He's a 10 out of 10. So, you know, it's just difficult for people to assess consciously how much value they're getting from that experience. And also, we just want to be nice to people and not, you know, not, I don't want to be a jerk. And I don't want to be more of a jerk than I already am. And, you know, so inside, it's just a difficult question. But by circumventing that conscious reporting and going right to brain activity, it gives us the opportunity to really get objective data that's actionable, right? It's very granular, fine-grained. I can see like, oh, the introduction of this piece of, say, clothing to this client, fabulous. And then, I don't know, then I kind of dropped the ball and that client was sort of tuned out. And then they walked out of the store. Okay, that's interesting. How might I turn that around? Well, if I have enough data, if I have enough positive and negative outcomes for that customer, then I can start finding patterns. We should thank the U.S. taxpayer. So we got several million dollars from DARPA, from the U.S. intelligence community, that, as you can imagine, would like to know what people will do after a communication. Right. So this is, again, not directed towards U.S. citizens by law. You know, how do I get some guy in Afghanistan to tell me where the bad guys are hiding? So I think it's a very noble endeavor for the military. You know, the work we did early on was about how to train soldiers to use words rather than weapons to motivate people to cooperate with the U.S. So I think it's the same thing in the business setting here. With the technology you have today, how do I create an experience that's so valuable to you that you love it? You want to spend more money, but you're also having a great time. You want to come back. I'm generating loyal customers. I'm generating people who want to share information. I'm creating super fans, evangelists for this experience. What could be better than that? And it's, again, it's not evil. I don't think there's an evil, you know, extent to this. It's like, just how do I get better at what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. I need really good data to
me. Yeah. No, I totally agree. That's, I would rather have an awesome dining experience than just an okay one. I would rather, for all the different examples that we go through in life, I would rather optimize as much as possible. Do you get pushback on or what pushback do you get if any?
Yeah, good question. Two pieces. One is, you know, people worry about, you know, being in some giant database. So there's no personally identifiable information on the site. So the platform generates a secret code for your data. You know that code, and you can go look at your data over time if you want to see, you know, how you've responded to classroom or training. There are some instances in which people consent to have that code opened up. So students in school, the parents can give written consent and say, I want to know how well my kid did in class today, so that if he or she did not absorb the material well, the teacher can follow up right away. So there's circumstances in which you may want to break that. And the second, I think, lack of understanding. So because we're pulling data from a smartwatch, it does seem kind of magical, right? How do I go from a smartwatch in which you're wearing at a theater watching the latest Disney release to measuring your brain activity? So you know, I think we the company, but me and as an individual, I spent a lot of time kind of educating the marketplace that actually, you know, the whole body and brain are connected to each other. So we can pull signals from the body to capture what the brain is doing. And we can do that very rapidly using cloud servers. So, I think it's, you know, we're still in the education phase. I think we've been super excited to have great clients. We survived COVID with some help from the government, which was great. But really understand that in lots of realms, if we can just get better at how we create or deliver content, then the world's just a little better place. And I do feel like, you know, everyone's got to do this eventually, right? So I remember talking to kind of a major movie studio that used our subscriber to our software, and after a year they decided not to renew. And I said, how come? We learned a lot. I said, but you know, all the guys in the street down the block from you are still using our software, right? They're continually improving as they get new content, as they reach new audiences. You know, there's so many interesting questions here. Right? If I'm making a superhero movie, and as we know, you know, a lot of that target audience is in China now, like, how do I edit that? They're edited differently when they're released in Asia. So how do I edit that differently for China versus the U.S.? That seems like a really good and, you know, very valuable question to ask. And I can ask a bunch of Chinese people, or I can just have them look at an app and say, oh, look, their brains are responding or not responding to this. Or maybe I should change the iconography. Maybe the music should be different. Maybe, I don't know. I can think of lots of different differences. So I call this Creative Plus, right? It's we software cannot replace creatives. We still need people to create content. But to believe that, as some artists say, I should create content to make myself happy. Yeah, maybe. But eventually you got to sell this thing, right? You've got to get other people to go, oh man, I love this. This is great. Maybe not everybody, but you've got to know who that target audience is to have a tool, a sort of a neural prosthetic that allows you to get that unconscious insight in real time. Just seems like the best way to really make people happy. And again, that's what I've sort of focused my professional life on, is creating happiness.
Yeah. Well, I think that's amazing. And what a great example. Talk about just going to a different culture where there's different languages and customs and everything. And you can ask them, hey, what'd you think about the movie? And all those biases will immediately play in, and all those, for lack of a better term, barriers in between honest, you know, open and honest communication and effective communication. Or you can just directly use this tool and cut through all of that. So that makes sense. I like it. Well, Paul, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I was thinking about this. It's such a great question. And I was thinking about the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. And it came from an undergraduate finance class in which the professor said, the most important thing is finance is to pay yourself first. Now, that sounds like a really selfish kind of thing. But if you think about what that means, it's like when you're on the airplane and you get that safety thing, put your own oxygen mask on before you help others. So I think to me, pay yourself first means you should order the things you're doing in life so that you're knocking off the most important things for you, for society. And if you pay yourself first, if you order your life so that you're doing the most important things, it means you can be of service to other people as well. So if I lose my job, if I'm not successful, if I'm struggling, I can't really reach out and help other people, right? So I think this is not selfish or selfless. It's really about understanding that we are members of community. And if I want to be a good community member to my family, to my colleagues, whatever, I've got to really pay myself first. So do the most important things first, like working out, right? So after this, I'm going to go work out. I do it in the morning. Why? Priority. I'm going to knock that in today, make sure I get that workout in. If I don't, then I begin to degrade physically, which degrades me mentally, and then I'm not able to be a good husband, a good father, a good work colleague.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Really well said right there. And, you know, going through that exercise will also cause us to figure out what those really important things are for us. So wonderful. Well, Paul, thanks so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
I'm happy to be engaging with people, and so nice to see you again too, George. GetImmersion.com is the company website. You can email me there. Happy to engage with folks if they have additional questions. And I do think we all are becoming amateur neuroscientists now, right? We all are interested in why the humans around us are so interesting and unusual and fascinating. That's essentially what movies are about, novels and classes. And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the site. I write blogs every week and, you know, learn a little about the neuroscience. And I think building an appreciation for the beautiful human world we live in, of the complete weirdos we're around, including ourselves. We're all a little bit odd. And let's just value that and appreciate it. I think it's such a beautiful thing.
Amen. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Paul your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to getimmersion.com. It's GetImmersion.com. And I can't say it any better than Paul just did. So check out all the great resources on the site. Thanks again, Paul.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cuando compras en la venta del 4 de julio de JCPenney y usas el cupón de 25% extra, no solo ahorras 25% extra en tus favoritos para el fin de semana, te estás ganando el título de Master Griller de por vida con 25% extra. La prueba está en el recibo. Sí, es JCPenney. Cupón válido hasta el 6 de julio en selección de estilos. Aplican algunas exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.